We're beginning today our sermon series on community as we prepare next week to launch our church-wide study groups on community. We'll be talking about different aspects of the Christian community over the next several weeks. So our scripture this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very cornerstone, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Recently, there were a few days when the Strongsville Rec Center was closed. I've lived in Strongsville long enough at this point to know that this happens every year at the end of August. And while I don't understand why a gym needs to close, it does. And while it's closed, you're allowed to go to the Middleburg Heights Rec Center to work out. Now, every year, I hate these days. I get really grumpy when I have to drive to Middleburg. I treat it like I'm driving all the way to like Ashtabula to go to the gym, even though I think I can get to the Middleburg Heights Rec Center faster than the Strongsville Rec Center from here most days. I complain about their equipment setup. I complain about their lack of individual TVs. I complain about the whole thing. But this year I realized something about the Middleburg Rec Center. It's not that bad, even though you can't watch Friends while you work out. The real problem is that when I'm there, I miss my people from the Strongsville Rec Center. I miss my community of people who work out at the same time as me every day. A few of you are part of that, and even though I might not know everybody else there, there's this feeling of belonging when you see the same people day after day after day. I miss the people at the front desk at Strongsville who greet me by name and compliment my dresses. You know how I got greeted at Middleburg? I walked in and they said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm from Strongsville." And they said, "Sign in over there." And the look said, "We knew you were one of them." But I survived the 3 days and I returned more thankful for my people at the gym. Now, there's something in all of us that wants us to belong, that wants to feel like we're a part of something. Now, I know there are many places in our lives where we can seek and experience that kind of belonging. But for the next several weeks, we're going to talk about how we experience and offer that kind of belonging in our church. How do we experience community in our church? Why is community important? What should our community look like? Who should we welcome into community with us? And how do we welcome others into our community? Because here's the thing about community at the church. It's different from every other community you might be a part of. So yes, while I feel belonging and community at the gym, the community I experience here is different. The community, as we're going to talk about this morning, is peculiar. Now, the word peculiar comes from the King James Version of one of the verses we read from 1 Peter. It says in the King James Version, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." What is a peculiar community then? Well, often when we use that word, we think of kind of like weird or odd or strange. But thankfully, that's not really the meaning here. Instead, this peculiar means different or chosen, as some translate it, or even God's own people, which is the translation we get with that we read. Now, 1 Peter is a letter to a new community of Christians. As Christianity is starting to spread rapidly, these new believers have questions about how they should live. This peculiar community is thought to be in Asia Minor, probably living as a minority community, so there were way more non-believers than there were believers around them. So for them, the thought that they are set apart, that they're chosen, that they're peculiar, would have been especially striking. Why would God choose them? Well, for Peter, it's in the unexpected that community is found. It's in the peculiar that belonging exists. And why is that? Well, it's because the rest of this scripture shows us an important truth about why and how we are a peculiar community. We are a peculiar community because our God is peculiar. 1 Peter describes this kind of peculiar God. Our God does the unexpected. God takes the stone that the builders rejected and makes it the cornerstone. Jesus, the one rejected by the world, becomes the means through which the world is saved. The God that we follow is different. The God that we follow is based in love and hope. The God that we follow loved us so much that he sent his only son into the world. And Jesus, this son, he showed us how to live a peculiar life. And then Jesus did the most peculiar thing of all. He willingly went to death so that we could have life. Jesus willingly paid the price for our sin so that we could be forgiven. Jesus defeated death and was resurrected so that we can have abundant and eternal life. That's all peculiar. We follow a God who seeks to forgive instead of seeking revenge. We follow a God who offers hope when all else seems hopeless. We follow a God who seeks not to divide, but to unite. We follow a God who's always on the side of life. We follow a God who puts love before preference. We follow a God who favors the least and the last and the lost. We follow a God who values humility over power. This is all peculiar. And so we are peculiar because we belong to this peculiar God. As the church, this is our first identifier. We belong to God. That's what makes the church different from any of the other communities you might be a part of. As a community, we are first and foremost defined by belonging to God. That's why the church can be a gathering of people who on the surface don't seem to belong together at all. The church can be a place for people of all ages because our primary identity is not our age, but that we belong to God. The church can be a place for people from different places because our primary identity is not that we are from Strongsville or North Royalton or wherever, but that we belong to God. The church can be a place for people who have different interests because our primary identity isn't being a Browns fan or a golfer or a knitter, but that we belong to God. The church can be a place for people with different jobs because our primary identity is not CEO or unemployed or retired, but that we belong to God. The church, dare I even say, can be a place for people with different beliefs, because our primary identity is not liberal or conservative, but that we belong to God. We are peculiar because we belong to God. That's what makes the church different from other communities. At my previous church, there was a family that started attending right about the same time that I got there. Both parents had attended church as children, but had drifted away as adults, but they started to feel like something was missing in their life. And so they decided they would give church a try again and introduce their kids to faith. Now, it didn't take long for this family to become active in the church. One day I was talking to them about church, and I asked them what had made them want to stay and be involved. Their answer? It was because church was different. Being at church was different than anything else they did in their lives. It was the place where they were allowed to slow down. It was the place where they could be quiet. I remember them saying that they even liked that the music at church was different than what they heard when they were away from church, because it reminded them that they were at a place that was different from the rest of the world. And it was a place, they said, where people accepted them, not because of who they were, but because they were there. It was a place where people loved their kids. They told me about coming to a family game night at church and watching a woman sit and play Candyland with one of their daughters. Now, if any of you have played Candyland, you know there's an equal chance the game can last 3 minutes or 45 minutes, but nowhere in between. Well, this woman played the 45-minute version. They said most days they wouldn't do that with their own kid, and yet here was a woman that would. Because church is different. Church is peculiar. Because our God is peculiar. How then do we live as a peculiar community? Well, the book that we're basing this series on, that we'll be studying in our church-wide studies, provides two ideas. Which, by the way, is one of the really great things about this book, if you haven't picked one up yet. At the end of every chapter, it provides these real practical ideas of how to live out what's discussed in the chapter. And so, for peculiar community, we are called to first spend time with God, and second, we seek to do peculiar things. The more time we spend with our peculiar God, the more we can live in this peculiar way. The book, it challenges us to spend 2 hours with God this week. Now, I know that might seem like a lot, but it's really only 17 minutes a day. And if you want to count that the hour that you're already here right now, it's only 8.5 minutes a day. But even then, that amount of time will change your soul if you let it. Read some scripture, spend some time in silence, pray. You can join a small group here at church to spend time with God. If you haven't signed up yet, do that after worship or online. We live as a peculiar community when we spend time with our peculiar God. And second, do peculiar things. The book, it encourages us to participate in 4 acts of peculiarity this week. This could be acts like an unexpected act of kindness, like letting somebody go ahead of you in line or giving a more generous tip at a restaurant. This could be what the book calls acts of maladjustment, when you don't give in to the greed or the jealousy or the excess of our world. So not buying something that you don't really need and giving that money to help others. Or maybe it's another act. Maybe you take time to listen to somebody in need. Maybe you ask a stranger how they're doing and really listen to the answer. Maybe you surprise your neighbors with cookies. Maybe you send a card to an old friend. Maybe you'll commit to coming to our community dinner next Sunday and sharing time and community with somebody new. Whatever it is, try 4 peculiar acts this week. We are a peculiar community because we follow a peculiar God. The church is a community of those who first and foremost belong to God. And as those who belong to God, we offer the love and hope and welcome of God to others. For this promise is true for our community. Once we were not a people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. We belong to a peculiar God. We belong to a peculiar community. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you that first and foremost, we belong to you. We thank you that you have loved us and welcomed us in to this community. So Lord, as a peculiar community, guide us to spend time with you, to grow closer to you, and then to offer your love and hope towards others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.